The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Years ago, Matthew and I became the proud owners of our first motorcycle, a brand new Harley Davidson. Now, Matthew's brother Steve and his wife Debbie bought one a few months earlier, and after much discussion, cajoling, and an adjustment in our life insurance benefits, we joined them. Buying this motorcycle was a momentous occasion in our marriage. We were excited about new adventures together. In Matthew's family, motorcycles were a part of growing up. He and his brothers had many assorted motorcycles over the years, and Matthew had his motorcycle license at 15. Me, on the other hand, had no experience as a rider, ever. I vividly remember those first rides. Once my initial fear subsided and I realized I didn't have to hang on for dear life, I surprised myself with how much I liked it. The scenery around me was so vivid as compared to riding in a car. The many fragrances and sometimes smells, the wind rushing around your body, the sensation of freedom. As the passenger, however, I could not see directly ahead. So I looked side to side, turned towards a great, beautiful view, sometimes leaned way out to see around Matthew. I thought I was doing pretty good for a newbie until Matthew said to me after our first particularly curvy ride, "What are you doing back there?" By his tone, obviously not as good as I thought. But he carefully explained to me that when riding, the motorcycle will follow where you are looking to go. So looking up and out, ahead on the road, keeps us in line with the road. It's also important to keep our center of gravity with the bike together. That way, when we would come upon those curves, we'd glide through them gracefully, leaning into them and out of them. If I'm busy looking and turning and leaning away as the passenger, then he is trying to keep the center for both of us. Not good and not safe. As I practiced centering myself during each ride, I realized I didn't need to move around so much to enjoy the scenery. I can relax into the bike and enjoy the ride as much as the view around me. And after all these years of riding, there are still times when I'm tempted to revert to my early ways. Something distracts me, catches my eye. Sometimes a giant flying beast of a bug collides with me, or I drift away in my own thoughts. And if I don't catch myself, I'll lose focus for just a moment and am in danger of turning away from that grounding center. In our lesson this morning from the Gospel of Luke, we hear of a momentous turn, one that is changing the course of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is turning away from his ministry in Galilee and setting his face toward what awaits him in Jerusalem with a sense of urgency to get there. We read in our lesson that the journey has a difficult beginning. Jesus chooses the road to Jerusalem by way of Samaria and is rejected by the Samaritans at his first stop. We aren't given the exact details of why he is rejected, but we are given the response. James and John, his disciples, who have been with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry and know him best, who hear his voice of peace, who see him bring wholeness and healing to the sick and marginalized, and who walk side by side with him, revert to their earlier ways of dealing with others by demonizing and dehumanizing the Samaritans with a very violent impulse, protecting their own interests with little empathy or regard for others. It's unsettling, and maybe even shocking, to hear James and John ask Jesus about bringing down fire from heaven upon the entire village to consume them by burning everyone and everything. When I think about it, maybe the response of James and John isn't that shocking after all. We don't have to look very hard to find our own violent responses in the news media, social media, as well as our entertainment, targeting those who are different from us, disagree with us, or reject us. We demonize and dehumanize others with our judgments, generalizations, and name-calling that is as hurtful and damaging as consuming fire, continuing to create wider divisions and gaps between us. We see this go on between the countries of the world, their people and ours, in our own nation's government and in our cities and neighborhoods. Even within our churches, there is abuse of trust and power, dissension among leaders, and legislating of who is worthy of welcome or not, who is in and who is out. The more we hear and see this way of treating each other, it's hard not to be distracted and tempted to turn away from who centers us and respond with our own fire, as James and John did. Now, the disciples don't know what lies ahead for Jesus, but we know what's coming. We know that he is headed into a violent response to his ministry and life, resulting in his torture and death. And yet Jesus has set his face, looking to exactly where he wants to go. He has set his face for us. He is set to take every moment we can dish out of being demonized and dehumanized upon himself by our free will. set to endure every human shame on the cross, all the while forgiving us, and set to death and resurrection to destroy death once and for all. Jesus comes for us again and again through all our temptations, drawing us in close to him, hanging on to us even when we have turned away. We will be on the road with Jesus and the disciples in our Sunday scripture for this season we call Ordinary Time, though there is nothing ordinary about these lessons. They are exactly what we need to hear and what we need to practice for the way to live differently with each other. And Jesus will continue to rebuke his disciples and his followers when they lose their focus and are tempted to hold on to their earlier ways. He'll continue to reach out in love to welcome those who are cast out. He'll continue to reveal to us again and again our God of love. And Jesus will teach us how to bring into this world the kingdom of God and how to be the beloved people of God. The world is in desperate need of both. Let's look to his face and his ways and make them our own. He'll keep us and guide us to look ahead to where we are going, the ride of our life, closer and closer to God. Amen.